I'd like to read, first of all, a verse in the book of Job. Job was an interesting man. So I understand that he lived in the time of around the time of Abraham, and he's described as an upright man. God took account of him. There's 42 chapters. Sometimes a bit difficult to know how much to read of it. A lot of what was said to Job wasn't very helpful. But just one verse that's come to mind, I'd like to, or perhaps two verses. It's in Job chapter 34. It's on page 680 in my Bible. Job chapter 34 and verse 14. If he only thought of himself and gathered unto him his spirit and his breath, all flesh would expire together, and man would return to the dust. And then in the book of Exodus, in chapter 3, page 72, chapter 3, in verse 7, and Jehovah said, I have seen assuredly the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and their cry have I heard on account of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And then a little later on in chapter 12, we read verse 13, and the blood shall be for you as a sign over the houses in which ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be among you for destruction when I smite the land of Egypt. Reference was made in the reading this afternoon to Isaiah 45, and I don't mind quoting it again, that there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none besides me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I think the writer of hymn 40 got his first three words from that scripture. I think it's a wonderful fact that we can tell you tonight that there is a just God and a Saviour. Elihu's word to Job was that if God didn't, then he thought of himself and gathered unto him his spirit and his breath, all flesh would expire. The very wonderful thing that God hasn't done that, but he's thought about you and he's thought about me. He thought about the children of Israel of old. He took account of their circumstances, and he took account of your circumstances too, and where you are. Says that I have seen assuredly the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and their cry have I heard on account of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. Perhaps you're not aware that you are under bondage. The children of Israel have gone down into the land of Egypt because of famine, and God had provided for them. He'd sent Joseph before them. Joseph had to say to his brethren, God sent me before you to preserve you alive. Wonderful provision that God made in that day for the children of Israel. And they survived. They provide, and they, after some 450 years passed, we come to this situation where God looked down upon his people. Because God had chosen Israel and set his name upon them, but he recognized that they were in bondage and they had sorrows, and I've come down to deliver them. Yes, God has come down in the person of Jesus, friend, to deliver you from the state in which you are as a sinner, away from God and in need of a saviour. Wonderful message in the glad tidings that there's hope and there's something for you which will meet your need. We'll meet it for time and for eternity. So much in this world is for short-term expediency. God has got a plan, not only for your benefit while you're here, under his hand, but for eternity. In the room I was in before, there's a little tract which says heaven or hell, and that sums it up completely. You're on a journey, and the destination is either one or the other. That's a very solemn thing perhaps to say, but it's factual and it's true. That you need to face the facts that there is the end of a journey, and it's a question of where you will be. But that can be only settled now, while you're still alive. Wonderful opportunity God gives you, that while there is life with you, you can have the knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus as your own Saviour. We didn't read about all the interim things that happened in the beginning of Exodus. There was the plagues and various things that took place. But we just read that little verse which tells us how it came about. God had said, Jehovah had said to, through Moses, that they were to take a lamb for a household, and they were to kill it. And they were to put the blood, quite simply, on their houses. It was to be on the lintel and on the two doorposts, on the top, down both sides. It's a wonderful picture of the precious blood of Christ, which has been shed. So he is the one who we have to speak about, the glad tidings. He's the one who I present to you tonight as the only Saviour for sinners. No other name given under heaven amongst men by which we can be saved, which we must be saved. That little word must, so important in Scripture. The opportunity, friend, is yours. Are you going to take it? Are you going to accept Jesus as your Saviour? If you haven't done already, how wonderful, we can rejoice together. We knew that wonderful link that you have with the Saviour. But it's on the basis of his precious shed blood. M. Writer puts it beautifully, doesn't he? Shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Yes, the gospel comes down to you individually where you are. We were speaking this afternoon about the woman in John 8, that she had an interview with the Lord, individually, herself, just her and Jesus. And that's how you come into blessing. You have to come to the Saviour in all your need, and recognise that you're a sinner. He knows all about you. You know, the Lord knows all about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves very often. How wonderful it is as with that woman in John 8, he can say to you, neither do I condemn thee. But that's only on the basis of his finished work at Calvary. How important it is to take account of that. That the Lord Jesus that came here as a babe in Bethlehem's manger and grew up, walked for 3.5 years, from the age of 30, in perfect agreement with everything that God required of him. Delighted to do the Father's will. There's a verse in Romans 15, I nearly read it, perhaps I worded it. It says, quite simply, for the Christ also did not please himself, but according as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen unto me. You might wonder what that word means, reproaches. Some of the commentators are quite helpful. They've fallen unto me. The reproaches of thee have fallen unto me. Jesus took upon himself what was due to you and I. He bore the judgment of God in relation to sin. He met every requirement of a holy and righteous God, so that God can come out in blessing towards you. And that full and free forgiveness can be offered to you tonight on the basis of repentance. That's the only way you can come into blessing, to come before God. You may come in your sins and an awareness of it, and every one of us is. God knows everyone, knows all about us, as I've said. What a blessing that everyone doesn't know about everyone else's sins. But God knows, and he's able and delights to forgive. Oh, a just God and a Saviour. Yes, he's just because he has a just basis, a righteous basis in which he can bless you. Why? Because Jesus went to Calvary's cross, shed his precious blood, and God has got a righteous basis because of that. He bore the wrath of God in relation to sin. It's often been said that sin is judged, sins are forgiven. How wonderful. God has got a basis in which he can forgive you, the sinner, can come out in all his wondrous glory and grace towards you because of what Jesus has done. You and I could do nothing of ourselves. Hopeless. We've been just like that woman, you know. Condemned. But Jesus has done it all. He's done everything that God required so that you could come into blessing. That precious blood that we read of in, that blood we read of in Exodus 12 speaks to us of that precious blood that was shed at Calvary. Peter had an impression of it. Peter, interesting personage in Scripture. Impetuous. Often think I'm a bit like Peter sometimes. Say things without thinking about it. Think of him on the Mount of Transfiguration, what he says there. And the word comes in the end, "This is my beloved son, hear him." That's all you have to do, friend, is to listen to the Saviour. Everything else goes out of sight. God commends his love to us. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Is that not wonderful? That Jesus went that way, there to meet what was needed for you and for me. We couldn't do it ourselves, as I said. Scripture says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Quite simple. So that's what Scripture tells me. Jesus was the one who was here without sin. Perfect before God. Only man that's ever been in this scene that's been perfect before God. The wonderful news too in the glad tidings is that he's been raised for our justification. Yes, my friend, Jesus is alive today. He's there in glory's highest height, crowned with glory and honour, able to dispense blessing towards you, able to meet your need. Oh, come to the feet of the Saviour, my friend, tonight. Come to know the one who is a just God and a Saviour. What's that for? That's say again? "Look unto me and be ye saved." Wow, there we are. That's the gospel in a nutshell, isn't it? Look to the one. Look unto the Saviour. There. It's like the reference this afternoon, wasn't it, to John 3:14. "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up." Mm-hmm. What does it tell us in Numbers 21, is it? That those who looked lived. Mm-hmm. Needed to look. They'd been bitten by the serpent, by whatever it was that came in. Fiery serpents bit the people, and many died. Moses cried to God, and he said, "Make a serpent of brass, and everyone who looks lives." Mm-hmm. Yes, you had to do something. You had to look. Not that you can do anything, if I may say carefully, the Lord Jesus has done everything, but you've still got to come in repentance. You've got to look, you've got to take account of the Saviour. You know, I often think, we've referred to Peter. You might say Peter failed. No worse than any of us, we've all failed. But you think of that when he denied the Lord. And who was, if we're honest, hasn't done so at some stage or other. But I always take great comfort in the fact that when the Lord looked at Peter, Peter was looking at the Lord. Because otherwise, how would he have known? Wonderful thing. Peter kept his eye on the Lord even then. Friend, it's a wonderful opportunity in the glad tidings to come to the Saviour of God's providing. Yes, my friend, it's the opportunity tonight. It's an urgent day in which we live. I can't promise you another gospel preaching. There's a necessity to come to the feet of the Saviour tonight, right now, where you sit. Have the assurance in your soul and the knowledge that your sins are forgiven and have been washed away in his precious blood. And you can have peace with God. Very important thing to have peace with God. Yes, everything settled for time and for eternity. We were rightly drawn to the fact that should we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, that's not the thought at all. But every sin is settled, past, present, and future, by the precious blood of Christ. There's no way that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. If you're saved today, you're saved for eternity. Have that assurance in your heart before God that he is a just God and a Saviour. May you put your faith and trust in him, my friend, for his name's sake.
Amen.